You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, Tommy Stokey here, your host of Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Check us out at LockedOnMLB.com. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, and we've got about 9 or 10 teams So far, cover Major League Baseball, so be sure to check us out. Check out the network as a whole, NBA, NFL as well, started by David Locke. Today, on Locked On MLB, we've got Wes Anderson talking fantasy baseball. Wes is my go-to source for really all fantasy sports, so we're going to talk daily fantasy and some mistakes that players might be making early on this year. Before we get to him, in segment three, I want to take a look at Tuesday night's action and some of our takeaways from the games, which included the Red Sox smashing the New York Yankees. And really, if you look at the Yankees, they are now probably the most disappointing team in baseball at this point at 5-6. And then we'll go to segment two and touch on the San Francisco Giants, who are holding things together so far at 500. A walk-off win on Tuesday against the Diamondbacks, but how long can they hang around? So those are our three topics and three segments today, highlighted by our interview with Wes Anderson. If you missed on Tuesday, we talked New York Mets with Joe Nocco and how sustainable that is. We thought we were going to jinx them and ruin them, but they held off the Marlins on Tuesday night for a win. So let's start out with Tuesday night's action, and the Rays kicked off, got a good start out of Blake Snell early in the day over the White Sox, 6-5. The Pirates took on the Chicago Cubs, another win for the Pirates, 8-5 over the Cubs. Tyler Chatwood was not very good, but the Cubs did get two home runs from Javier Baez, kind of the only offense he's provided so far this year. The Pirates getting home runs from Cervelli and Marte. Off to an 8-2 start. Probably want to talk to Jason Rollison of Lockdown Pirates this week and get his thoughts on how sustainable this success is. The Indians taking on the Tigers. We said that was a good recipe for success for Cleveland to see. They've got four games against Detroit coming up to get back over 500 at 6-5. The Washington Nationals beat the Braves to get back on track. Steven Strasburg didn't give up a run. He looked really good. He also got a hit. So that was the highlight there. Ryan Madsen ended up getting the save. The Phillies, behind a late Scott Kingery grand slam, take down the Reds 6-1. Toronto Blue Jays, Aaron Sanchez took a no-hitter into the eighth. Kind of controversial way to end it. I would have certainly given that an error on Josh Donaldson. Hard hit ball, Tim Beckham right through Josh Donaldson's legs at third base. I don't know that he touched the ball, so maybe that counts as not being an error, but third baseman's got to make that play. I mean, hit right at him. It was hit hard, sure, but between his legs, who knows what would have happened anyway. Orioles ended up getting a run that inning, but the Blue Jays hang on. 8-4 start there. I joked with Locked On Orioles on Twitter and Justin McGuire over there that seems like we're going to have a sweat every single week on whether or not the Orioles are going to get no hits. So not the way that you wanted to come off that big series against the Yankees. The Mets 8-6 over the Marlins on the road, although they did get out hit 11-9. Two home runs from Asdrubal Cabrera. Justin Bour homered twice for the Marlins. The Mets are 9-1. Again, go back and listen to our podcast from Tuesday with Joe Nocco to hear more about the Mets and what's working there. The Red Sox 9-1 following their 14-1 win over the Yankees. I thought this was kind of funny because the total was originally 7.5, drops to 7, drops all the way to 6.5 in sports books with the pitching matchup Chris Sale, Luis Severino. At any time it gets that low, I don't really care who's pitching and it's dropping that much. It's almost like, man, you got to like the over just because 6.5 is so low, you don't see a number that low, and sure enough, the Red Sox blew the doors open, a 9-run sixth. Aaron Judge did homer for the Yankees. Their one highlight. Mookie Betts, the big grand slam. Chris Sale, first win of the year for those of you that care about wins. The Angels looked a little rough pitching-wise at first, but Tyler Skaggs bounced back for a nice outing. They win 11-1, home runs from Mike Trout, home run from Andrelton Simmons. Andrelton Simmons has the most hits in baseball, so if he can be an offensive threat again this year, he used to be just glove only, but starting to swing the bat pretty well. That'll be big for them. Should talk to Patrick Zajac this week, host of Locked On Angels, because they're one of the best stories in baseball. And as I keep joking, we are now Locked On MLB, but also Locked On Shohei Ohtani. He did pinch hit in this game, scheduled to start Sunday against the Royals. The Minnesota Twins, 4-1 over the Houston Astros. I think the one takeaway that I got from that game was A.J. Hinch complaining about the weather after the game to say that nobody wants to play in this. Okay, well, I guess I don't know. It's a little early to make excuses when everybody's playing in weather like that. So I don't know. Just kind of weird to hear that complaints about the weather. The Brewers bullpen implodes, blows two leads, one in the ninth, one in the tenth, as the Cardinals win 5-3. We talked earlier this week that the Brewers had the biggest week in baseball with their schedule and coming off that series loss to the Cubs, not off to a good start there. Their bullpen is going to get worn down and taxed, and with a starting rotation that's not going deep, going to be tough. Matt Carpenter with the walk-off home run there. The Mariners bounce back with an 8-3 win over the Royals. Felix Hernandez, I read a preview somewhere that, you know, Felix is the guy that you want because he's your stopper. And I kind of looked at him like, man, Felix hasn't been that guy before, or hasn't been that guy lately, but he certainly was on Tuesday. The Padres with a win, 5-2 over the Rockies. Rockies struggling offensively. Might have to write about that this week. I saw John Heyman pointed out on Twitter that the first basemen are not hitting, and last year's first baseman Mark Reynolds is on the market, and he was hitting last year. Maybe it's time to see some more Ryan McMahon. I think he's only gotten one start so far. Trevor Story homered, Austin Hedges, and Hunter Renfroe all in that game. Dodgers win column 4-0 over the Athletics. Kenley Jansen came in and got the save. Chris Taylor, Corey Seager led off that game with home runs. Good to see Matt Kemp contribute. And the funny thing is we heard all offseason about how there's no way Matt Kemp is going to be on the Dodgers. No way, no way, no way. And here he is hitting a home run and contributing so far. And then our final game of the night, Giants walk-off win over the Diamondbacks. I kind of want to save my thoughts there. I mean, Diamondbacks were short in the bullpen. Tyler Beattie's debut. Diamondbacks stranded a lot of guys early and didn't take advantage. And it came down to Jorge De La Rosa just didn't have it. Paul Goldschmidt made it interesting, tying the game in the ninth. But with Archie Bradley down, with Yoshi Hirano down, short bullpen cost the Diamondbacks. All right, segment two today. Let's talk about those San Francisco Giants. They're off to a 5-5 start, but how long can they keep this going? That's a good question. And the news got, although they won, the news got worse because Johnny Cueto hit the DL. That makes Johnny Cueto, Jeff Samardzija, Madison Bumgarner, your top three starters, are now all in the DL. Bumgarner, I don't think, is expected back until June. Samardzija has been progressing and I think going to get on a rehab assignment soon, Samardzija. But we'll see how that goes. And Cueto, we'll see how long he's out. But they have a tough stretch coming up, and offensively, they're getting nothing. McCutcheon's OPS, although he's gotten hot the last couple games, is just .646. Evan Longoria, 4-35. Hunter Pence, 7-34. Brandon Crawford, on base, is only .278. Gregor Blanco and Gorkys Hernandez are combined 10-25 to start the year. Hunter Pence, Evan Longoria combined 11-69. Not very nice for the Giants there. And then you look at their bullpen with Block, Holland, Stratton, and Beattie in the rotation now and not really going deep in games. The bullpen, which is without Mark Melancon, is going to get burned. So, you know, they need to keep their head above water if they can with those guys out, especially Bumgarner. I mean, that's where they went south last year. But are they going to be able to do it with their schedule coming up? You look at, they face Robbie Ray today on Wednesday. Then they go to San Diego for four games. In theory, you should at least get a split there. I think you're hoping for a split against San Diego, and you know, with the potential to take three out of four. Then you go three more at Arizona, and right now you're scheduled to face Corbin, Ray, and Greinke, and of course that can change, but that's the way that it appears to line up now. Those are going to be three tough games. You have three then against the Angels, and one of those figures to be Ohtani. Richard Skaggs Ohtani is how that lines up for now. Again, things can change, but those are three tough games on the road. Then you're at home for the Nationals, and you'll only face Scherzer, but still Gio Gonzalez, Tanner Roark, and that's as far as the rotation is projected out on the schedule that I'm looking at. But after three against Washington, you've got four against the Dodgers. So this is a bad time for Cueto to get hurt. It's not a good time for the offense to be struggling. And so if these guys are going to make a run or at least stay within shouting distance until Bumgarner gets back and until the offense gets going, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. So I think a lot of it comes down to, is Longoria going to start hitting, or is he, has he lost a step, or has he lost a second in his swing where he's not going to be that guy that they were expecting to get when they made that trade for Christian Arroyo and took back a lot of that salary? Is Andrew McCutchen going to keep hitting? I mean, he's looked good. He's looked good in his at-bats where, you know, took a bases-loaded walk against Patrick Corbin. But the big thing there is that, you know, fouling off pitches the same way that he did when he walked off the other night. He's on everything. He's taking close pitches. So it looks like he's starting to see the ball well. I think he'll start to hit. But as far as the other guys go, Brandon Crawford's never really been known as a hitter. And Hunter Pence has looked done for a couple of years. So big test coming up, and the schedule doesn't look very good for the rest of April for the Giants. And you know, May looks better, but I think you got to be around 500 or so, especially if the Diamondbacks keep running away with things. All right, let's get to our interview here to wrap up the show. Locked On MLB again. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, LockedOnMLB.com, and follow us on Twitter, Locked On MLB. Really excited to have Wes on. He is, like I said earlier, my go-to source for all fantasy sports and just a guy that really puts in the work to be great at this and to make sure that he's not saying things just to say things. He's saying these because he's got evidence behind it, whether it's what he's watching, whether it's in the numbers. He's a big numbers guy, so he's going to give us some great stuff here, hopefully regularly. We talked about daily fantasy mistakes that players make early in the year. We talked about undervalued players, overvalued players, and then he gives us some targets for Wednesday's action. So here is Wes Anderson. All right, joined by Wes Anderson now. You can follow him on Twitter at Wander34. Wes, where are you writing your football stuff now?
I'm still over at FanReg doing some weekly fantasy football stuff, and I still got a little bit of fantasy work going on also at the Gridiron Experts.
Cool. You were my go-to fantasy baseball guy. You would be my go-to daily fantasy guy if it wasn't for the state that I'm in not allowing me to enjoy this. So a lot of daily fantasy questions are kind of foreign to me because I don't play, which is weird. So if I ask any dumb questions for both you and the listener, understand that I'm dumber than whoever is listening when it comes to daily fantasy. So apologize this early in the season. But at this point in the season, 10 games in or so, what's the biggest mistake that you notice daily fantasy players tend to make?
Yeah, at the beginning of every season, really, regardless of what sports you're playing, there's always a panic out of the gate that the DFS community every year gets baited into, and you kind of watch it unfold, knowing that it's coming, and you try not to fall trap to it. You just kind of got to stick. I know this is a common thing that you hear in sports all the time, but for DFS, it's really true, particularly here in the year where You just got to stick to your process. You have to know what works and kind of let it play out that way over the course of, 200 days or whatever it is that the MLB season is. A great example is on Tuesday, you look at the Cubs' Tyler Chatwood. His last game out, he went six innings, had a 1.5 ERA. Now he's playing for the Cubs. Maybe he's good. Okay, well then on Tuesday he gets lit up for five earned runs on five innings pitched. And if you look at the predictive stats, you kind of saw that coming. You know, with that 1.5 ERA, he came into play on Tuesday with a 681 Sierra. So you knew that number, that 1.5 ERA, was probably false. But because we panic and it's such a small sample size of stats that we can work with, outside of the really deep, Fangraph type of stats, a lot of people would panic to play him, especially in an early slate like you saw on Tuesday. So for me, you kind of got to take that step back, rely on predictive stats. Don't be afraid to go back to last year either. When I'm running my numbers right now, I'm using 2017 and 2018 to kind of help even the playing field for me anyway.
Is the beginning of the season better for the inexperienced daily fantasy player, or is it better for the more experienced, or does it not really matter?
Yeah, I think that it maybe it's not experienced or inexperienced, but I think it's more of the player that's able to be disciplined and staying to that process. But it, even maybe more so than that is really the ability to hear, particularly early on, just be able to watch some baseball. If you're able to do that early on here before a lot of trends hit place, it kind of gives you an advantage kind of over the competition. You know, I take Carlos Santana, for example. If you look at his batting average, I think he's at the 150s here on the season. But if you watch some games on Monday, you saw him hit three hard balls just right at people. And then you kind of dig into it, and you see that his average exit velocity going into play on Tuesday was the fourth best in baseball. So you kind of see that he's getting unlucky. And so before everybody else kind of jumps on that, that's something that you could play. You know, I had him in a lot of lineups on Tuesday, and it really ended up not working out that great for me. I think he had, a run or two, a couple of walks. But if you're able to get in early on a guy, see that he's hitting the baseball, I think that's where your advantage is, particularly here in the season, early in the season, where we're still trying to figure out who's who here in 2017.
So I compare this to football, where football you only have, 17 chances to play, and baseball you have 162 chances to play, so maybe it's a good thing that I can't play it. But when you see a trend, or you see something like Carlos Santana where you think you could sense a breakout, I mean, how many times a week are you looking to play him? Because it's not like, well, it didn't work on Monday, he hit three balls to the warning track, so I guess we're done. But it's, at some point, is it okay, we can't play him every day? So I guess how do you, when you sense that breakout coming, how do you manage your lineup around that?
Yeah, well, with a guy like Santana, I know that off air earlier we talked about a guy like Springer. You can't predict when someone's going to break out. You obviously can see some numbers. They can pass an eye test to tell you that it's coming. But on plays like that, you certainly aren't going to go all in on them. You certainly aren't going to play them in your cash lineups where it's supposed to be more of your safer plays. But for me, I've had Santana in a couple of tournament lineups now for 2 days. I would anticipate a third day coming so that when he does have that big game, I'm on it. In terms of my bankroll that I'm putting on Santana, it's not a large number, again, because you can't hone this in 100%. You know, I think when you compare like football to baseball, like you mentioned, I think football's, I don't want to say it's an easier sport, because it's not, because it's every sport has its own things. But I think it's easy to envision kind of seeing when it's the time to play them, where here's some of these stats, you kind of are going to roll them out, but not invest, I guess, in heavily in them.
So what do you do with a player like Giancarlo Stanton, with a George Springer, when they have the track record, but they're in the middle of either a bad start or in the middle of a slump?
Yeah, you know, if those stats aren't showing up, you know, the, like I said, the exit velocity one's one I mentioned earlier. I like to use that one quite a bit. I'll tend to try to find some film that I can watch on those guys, just to even see what type of swings they're taking. But that's the beauty of daily fantasy. For a guy like myself, I don't hardly play any season long anymore, because if I don't want to play a guy, I don't have to anymore. And so if you don't see George Springer in a spot where you like him, you watch him and he looks lost at the plate, you just push him to the side, because there's, you know, every team's fielding three outfielders. There's plenty of other places that you can go, particularly as these DFS algorithms, in terms of how they come up with their prices, get smarter. You used to see big swings in the way they were priced. You don't see those swings on the downfall as much as you used to. A player that's good, they don't drop as much as they used to. So for me, if I'm not seeing it, the numbers aren't supporting it, I'm okay to back away. Certainly, you know, you always want to get in on it before everybody else does. So you might take a stab on, you know, a BVP play. Maybe he's had a lot of success against a certain pitcher and he's happening to see them, you know, in the next couple of days. Maybe you look to kind of plug him in there and hope that's what gets him started. But the last thing that you want to do when you do this DFS stuff is start guessing and hoping. So I have to at least see something, whether it's with my eyes or with the numbers. Otherwise, you can put him out of your player pool and wait for him.
So who are you looking at right now that in your opinion, is overvalued on the market?
Yeah, I think really the Yankee team is going to be a team that's going to get love, or has been getting love. Their ownership numbers have been very high, and then a lot of those guys have failed to really pay you back. You know, you mentioned Stanton, Judge, obviously, and his price tag is so high, he has to do a lot of special things every night to kind of give you the value you're looking for. So I would look at those two as big ones. Obviously, the Springer one, as we mentioned, has been tough to kind of figure out. But the you know, everybody else is kind of settling in. The prices are starting to balance out, and those guys will bounce back. Yeah, I have no problem if you want to keep stacking Yankees, because you know those home runs are coming eventually. And each night that passes, because, as we mentioned, the people are scared to stick to their process, that ownership number keeps dropping every night. And when they hit big, you certainly want to be on it.
And then let's look at the other side. Who's undervalued right now that maybe people aren't quite picking up on yet?
Yeah, I think the Oakland Athletics has been a team that I've enjoyed playing quite a bit. Now, I know that they're strikeout prone on occasion, you know, but Olson's a guy that I've played a ton of. His price has crept up, of course, because he's been playing well. But really, any of those guys in the middle, Chapman, Lowry, Davis, are guys that I've been playing quite a bit, so I'm finding some value there. They always kind of seem to go under owned because they're a West Coast team that aren't really good, so nobody sees them on TV unless you got the, you know, the MLB package. So their ownership's always kind of low, so I like sneaking them in as kind of a late-night hammer. To kind of get me across the money line or a higher finish.
Yeah, when MLB had them as the number 10 lineup entering the season, everybody was kind of like, really, Oakland? And I'm like, yeah, that's a good lineup, and I'm a Matt Chapman owner, so I applaud that selection. When does, for you, talking about process, when does a bad start, or even a good start for that matter, when does that become who the player is versus just a streak?
Yeah, so To me, everything that I like to do is very numbers-based. As I mentioned earlier, I really don't like to just take stabs in the dark. I don't like to play, well, if this guy does this, we're fine. Well, what's going to support it? So for me, I rely heavily, as I mentioned, still on the 2017 stats. From an offensive point of view, when we get around maybe 100 at-bats, I'll start to scrap some of the 2017 numbers and get more into the 2018 stuff. Pitching-wise, it's four or five starts probably for me to get a real feel for what's changed. Because then there's some data where you can support you know, is there a change in movement on their pitches, you know, mile per hour difference? Are they throwing more first strikes than they have in the past? And I just need a sample size to be able to kind of make those decisions.
All right, and then we'll end it with this. Is there anybody in particular that looks good to you on Wednesday that you want in your lineup?
Yeah, Wednesday's kind of for DFS purposes, it's kind of a crappy day. There's not a lot of dominant pitchers pitching, and then they've split it. So on the main slate where all the larger money contests are in, there's only seven games on what will be the main slate. So the slate itself is kind of ugly, but without there being a ton of studs on the mound, I think there's a lot of places that you want to look to attack as you go through that. You know, the Cincinnati-Philly matchup, Pivetta and Castillo, I know both of those guys are young guys that have a lot of promise, but I think that might be a game that we can get into game stack here a little bit. Certainly the Los Angeles-Texas matchup is intriguing. Los Angeles, the Angels are another one of those teams that are kind of going underappreciated, but night after night they're continuing to score runs, and so they get to face Matt Moore in Texas. The temperature should be a little bit warmer there than anywhere else, so the ball should travel pretty well. So I'm not saying anything crazy here, really stepping out, but obviously a guy like Mike Trout tomorrow finds himself in a really good spot against Matt Moore there in Texas. And then obviously some of those other pieces, Cole Calhoun has been a guy that's been putting up numbers quietly. If you want to kind of do a little mini stack with those two, Ohtani, if you can find him in the lineup. I'm not sure where he's at on his the days off and such, that they kind of got to give him to keep him rested. But I think those are some good places for you to start, at least as you get into this thing. And then obviously you got to wait till lineups come out. I tried the night before to have a lot of my research done, and then kind of pick some handful of teams that I can dive into a little bit further, and then wait for lineups and hope you find some value guys that are leading off or something like that to help you out. But certainly that Angels game is a game that I'm going to keep an eye on kind of here at my first glance.
Yeah, I think and that might be a preview. You might be getting a preview tomorrow getting a preview today of what's going to happen tomorrow. They're taking on Martin Perez, and when we started recording this, I think they had four or five runs already. Trout had a home run, so that might be, you know, one left-hander today, another left-hander tomorrow. Might be a bit of a preview. But, Wes, I appreciate your time, and we'll obviously do this again probably pretty often.
I appreciate the opportunity, Tom.
All right, thanks.